tiny platform that is a mere jumping off point into an unknown ocean of space and stellar mysteries. We, in our infinitesimal position in the vast and endless universe, can conceive only what we can see and touch physically. One of the great historians of our time, Professor H. Butterfield, has said, "Our fight is against some devilry that lies in the very process of things, against something that we might even call demonic forces existing in the air. The forces get men into their grip, so that the men themselves are victims in a sense, even if it is by some fault of their own nature. They are victims of a sort of possession." Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder where you are. Remember? Quite often people today are asking, "Twinkle, twinkle, little something, how I wonder what you are." Flying saucers? Unidentified flying objects? Ships from outer space? Is there reliable evidence that there are objects moving about? And what people are seeing, is it their imagination? Nothing more than spots before their eyes. International Broadcast News Service presents Spots Before Our Eyes, or Are They? This documentary is presented to better inform you, the listener, with a controversial phenomena, UFO, unidentified flying objects. What they are, who has seen them, are they a danger? Or do they really exist, except in man's fertile imagination? We ask you this question: what do you think? Some people are convinced they have traveled in outer space. One of these is a man who calls himself Prince Neo Sam, who in reality is Lee Childers of Detroit, a baker.
There have been many reports here of late and back, going back, say, 5 or 6 years ago, regarding supposed to be disasters that were created by unidentified flying objects in certain parts of the world. These unidentified objects, as we well know, do exist. Now, these unidentified flying objects of the disaster type are known as the evil saucers, which are owned and operated by a person which is in power at this particular time that has been thought throughout the entire world to be dead. But he is not dead.
Evil saucers. Controlled by a person thought to be dead, but is not dead. And who do you think this evil person is?
I would say that the man's name is Adolf Hitler.
And Major Hal Harlan, an Air Force official, when asked if he believed UFOs are guided by intelligent beings, had this to say.
Well, this is strictly an opinion of mine, but after reviewing the majority of cases on file, we haven't in any way come to the conclusion that any of the UFOs that have been reported to the Air Force are guided by intelligent beings.
And Radio Moscow. Radio Moscow and their opinion, in letters from U.S. listeners, had this to say.
Next letter comes from Doris Hastings. 4307 Washington Avenue Southeast, Charleston, West Virginia. Have you sighted any UFOs or flying saucers? What are your opinions of such objects?
Well, I think our scientists have furnished ample proof that flying saucers and UFOs are just a case of people's imagination playing tricks on them. Some time back, there was a big article by Soviet academician Artemovich in the Pravda proving that this whole business of unidentified flying objects is just a lot of mass hysteria.
Mass hysteria. Radio Moscow. Now, a United States pilot for commercial airlines Pan American Airways. His name, Captain Van Winkle. As we mentioned, a longtime pilot with Pan American Airways. He cites from an experience that happened to him on a trip to South America.
This unidentified object appeared to be coming right at me from west to east. I took violent evasive action, gaining about 1,500 feet in a matter of a few seconds. The object appeared to have a brilliant greenish-white center with an outer ring which reflected the glow from the center. Evasive action caused injury to most all the passengers in varying degrees.
People from all walks of life, located in different parts of the country, they saw something, or they thought they saw something. The sighting of unidentified flying objects is not new. Some reports date back more than 100 years. On August 6th, 1860, in Norfolk, Virginia, two objects, one red and one green, flew overhead together, moving with an undulating motion. England, 1877, three meteor-like objects moving together with remarkable slowness flew across the sky, visible for about 3 minutes. February 28th, 1904, a formation of three maneuvering objects sighted by the ship, the USS Supply, in the North Pacific off San Francisco. Sightings right to our present time. The United States Air Force has been asked on numerous occasions to evaluate the sightings that have taken place. How does the Air Force go about this?
Usually, when we get a report, an official report through Air Force channels, we direct the UFO officer at the nearest airbase to immediately conduct an investigation. Now, first of all, we try to contact the people who were the observers and who were the witnesses to the object. Then we try to take photographs of the area or the object if possible. We try to go to the site, go through the observation with the people. We try to go back to the specific time when this individual or individuals observed the phenomena or the object. And from there on, we come back to the office and try to determine exactly what it was. And here we have different courses of action which we can take according to what we can determine at this specific time, whether it was celestial, whether it was an object, something like a refueling operation, or maybe balloons, birds, or what have you.
Major Hal Harlan, United States Air Force. Who are the people that investigate reports of unidentified flying objects? One organization is known as NICAP. Recently, Emil Svalas, feature writer with United Press International, interviewed the acting director of this private investigative force, Mr. Richard Hall.
Mr. Hall, what exactly is NICAP?
NICAP is a non-profit organization incorporated in the District of Columbia, which investigates reports of unidentified flying objects and circulates reliable information on this subject.
Does NICAP think the Air Force will eventually release the information they have stored up about flying saucers?
I think they may be forced to if the interest in Congress continues to grow. There are a great many congressmen who are expressing an interest in holding some hearings on this subject. I doubt that the Air Force would ever release the information on its own initiative. A number of senators have recently expressed interest. Senator Thomas J. Dodd of Connecticut has indicated that he might look into the subject. Senator Paul Douglas of Illinois stated in reaction to our documentary report that he was encouraged about our efforts And he, I'll quote, he will certainly offer my contribution of time and effort to get to the bottom of these reports.
Has Congress ever been interested in this subject before?
Yes, for years they have shown interest. In 1961, there was a three-man UFO subcommittee, so-called, set up in the House Space Committee. They were making some preliminary inquiries about holding hearings, but these never materialized.
You mentioned your report. Could you elaborate on that subject?
Yes, we issued a report titled The UFO Evidence, which was sent to every member of Congress in July 1964. This covered 7 years of investigation. The cutoff date on the information was the end of 1963. It is the full report of all of our best accumulated evidence.
How can a person obtain this report?
The report can be obtained from us at 1536 Connecticut Avenue in Washington.
And does it cost anything?
Yes, the price of the report is $5.
About how many flying saucer reports has NICAP investigated?
We have something just over 5,000 reports in our file, which we have gathered information on. And of these, we consider about 750 to be outstanding cases.
There is no doubt that there are the eccentrics, the fanatics, and to use the vernacular, the way-out kooks. The late George Adamski, claim to fame, traveled to Venus. He told reporters in Washington, D.C.,
"Well, anyway, they took me on a little trip, and that's when I saw this, what they call, firefly effect. I could only describe it that way because they were flickering everywhere in different colors. See, some were quite a good size, and some very small. And also, see, some big one, big, which was probably meteorites, moving dark meteorites or dark bodies through space that you couldn't recognize what it was.
How fast were you going about?
Well, we were moving at that time. We were moving right about maybe 40, 50,000 miles per hour.
The Amalgamated Flying Saucer Clubs of America, headed by Gabriel Green, claim to fame, ran for President of the United States in 1960. First, a word from his campaign manager.
Well, when I was 19 years old, I met a spaceman on the highway near Paris, Texas. He came out of the woods on, believe it or not, he was actually looking for something to eat.
Now, the candidate himself, Mr. Gabriel Green. Mr. Green tells us the difference between Earth people and those he has met from outer space. He says
that they are perhaps better looking than the average Earth person, although we, of course, have many very handsome people, movie stars, for instance, and a great many very good-looking people on our own planet. The difference would be, I would say, primarily a mental and spiritual advancement, as well as having an understanding, a greater understanding of all that is, that means scientific and technological information, which allows them to live in a non-destructive society.
And Daniel Fry, his experience at White Sands, New Mexico, approaching a spaceship that had landed in the desert and touching it.
I stepped forward and very gingerly applied one fingertip to the surface of the metal. It was only slightly above air temperature, but it had a quality that is difficult to describe. It was exceedingly smooth. It was more than that. It was exceedingly slippery. In fact, it was impossible to produce any friction between the tip of my finger and the surface of the metal. The metal was hard, that is, it did not indent under the pressure of the finger, but the finger simply drifted around on the surface. This was one of a number of subsequent things which occurred, which couldn't possibly occur in our thinking today, and left me in a state of wonderment. I then began to stroke the surface with the palm of my hand, and at that point I was addressed by a voice. upon recovering from my surprise, I assumed that it was a voice which was being reproduced by some sort of transducer from within the craft. But the voice was in the English language and in the American idiom. The only thing that distinguished this voice or its usage from the American language is the fact that the idiomatic phrases in many cases were not used in the exact way that we would use them. They always made complete intelligence, but they were interspersed in places that we would never put them.
So much for the way out observers of flying saucers. The appearance of unidentified flying objects has even inspired the current writers of folk songs.
We all knew there were no such things as flying saucers. We all knew that no such things could be. Scientists offered many logical explanations for the crazy things we were supposed to see. They were weatherable, they were real, they were optical illusions or alcoholic delusions. We all knew that.
And who knows? One day it may become as immortal as Greensleeves. In August of 1965, newspapers in many parts of the nation carried these headlines: Air Force radar personnel report solid radar contact with UFOs flying 9,000 miles per hour. And there were countless sightings across the nation. Najib E. Halaby, former director of the Federal Aviation Agency, said the rash of reports may signal a new American mythology. Mr. Halaby said on August 4th in Los Angeles, reports of such objects seem to reach their peak in August and September. It may be that the long, hot summer expedites the imagination. Unquote. From Willamette, Illinois, two 14-year-old boys said they saw unidentified flying objects in their city. A 23-year-old Sioux City, Iowa high school English teacher said he saw a flashing object and that anyone who would say this is a star would be out of their minds. A baffled news photographer has added to the mystery of the recent sightings of unidentified flying objects over 8 Midwest states. George Goodson of Junction City Daily Union said he took a photo Monday of a skydiver parachuting to the ground. At the time, he said he noticed nothing unusual, but when he developed the picture, 8 black oval dots showed on the prints.
I thought at first I'd goofed and left water spots on a negative, but when I made the print, I saw that 2 of the black things were partially hidden from you by the parachute shroud.
A close study of the print, he said, disclosed the spots were not the result of a technical fault. Goodson, who took the photograph about 100 miles north of an area where UFOs were tracked on radar early Monday, said he has no inkling what the ovals represent.
They don't look like anything like airplanes.
A 34-picture roll was used on the parachute jumpers, he said, but only one negative showed the unidentified dots.
These things are in focus, but there are no details.
And there were the contradictions. In a report from Kawina Peninsula in Michigan, this story. Personnel at the U.S. Air Force radar base in Kawina Peninsula today reported solid radar contact with 7 to 10 unidentified flying objects moving in a V formation over Lake Superior. Observers said the objects were moving out of the southwest and were heading north-northeast at about 9,000 miles per hour and were 5,200 to 17,000 feet high. One of the men at the base said three other radar stations in North Dakota Minnesota, and Luther Air Station in Canada also reported spotting the objects. He said the weather station reported electronic jamming of its radar. Seven other objects were spotted over Duluth, and jet interceptors gave chase, but they could not maintain the speed of the UFOs and were easily outdistanced.